Don't talk.
I am quite from Lourdes. St. Lourdes and
Close enough. Good morning and welcome everyone, especially any visitors and everybody watching on live stream today. I'm Wendy Zanker and I'm worship guide for this morning. Welcome to the start of our church-wide journey titled Wisdom in the Desert, 40 Days in the Wilds of Faith with the Desert Fathers and Mothers. And we have a big week ahead, a big week of events ahead. Beginning with Ash Wednesday on Wednesday, that's the 18th of February, a service here at 7 o'clock. Can't believe that it's Ash Wednesday already. Two events on Friday. Friday at 9 o'clock, the junior school from Encounter Lutheran College will be here in our worship space for Shine, with storybook Bibles being presented to the Year 3 students. And those storybook Bibles are a gift from our church to those students. And we're all welcome to join and come along and show our support to them. So that's Friday at 9 o'clock. Also on Friday at the school, we have the Night on the Green, and that is between 4 and 8. And that will be with entertainment, street food vans, amusements, and a whole lot of fun. And that is another way that we can support our school. And then on Saturday, on the 21st of February, we have Making the Most of Conversation training. So if you wish to participate in welcoming new families who are making the Great South Coast their new home, please sign up for that, and you can do that today. And we certainly hope you've been reading the Book of Reports. There's a whole lot to read in that. It's 36 pages. And so that's in preparation for the AGM after the service next Sunday, hoping to start at 11 o'clock on the 22nd. So that is a big week ahead. This is all, of course, in your community news, so scan the code to join the mail-out list, and much more information can be found in the email copy. And now, come, let us enter the wilderness with Christ, push into prayer, and deepen our spiritual formation. We are saved and made righteous by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. There is nothing we can do to earn or deserve that forgiveness. It is a free gift. Still, if we want to grow in our faith and overcome our ongoing battles with sin and aim to grow in spiritual maturity, we need to apply our efforts towards spiritual formation. So let us fix our eyes on Jesus so that we might approach Easter with a heart of prayerful pursuit. We worship today in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And so we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, lead us, as you led Christ, away from the noise of the world and into the vast silence of the desert. Lead us to better understand ourselves and who you are. Lead us to grow in faith towards you and love for one another. Lead us to fix our eyes on Jesus and rest in his victory as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Amen. And today we have a guest pianist and the teachers from the school, and we're going to have our first song, Jasmine, Open the Eyes of My Heart. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Great to see you all here today as we prepare for our Lenten journey that lies ahead of us. Today we're going to reflect on the things that we need to step away from and the things that we need to move towards. We might even find ourselves assessing our daily habits and our rhythms so that we are intentionally prepared to enter this Lenten season with one clear goal: to draw closer to the Lord who loves us dearly and has called us his children. And so, friends, let's begin our time of worship today. This isn't to keep track of how long the service goes for. But we're in the desert, a place of many sands. So why not use the sands for a purpose today? Being in the desert is not exactly an easy place to be. The desert could well be a metaphor for our very own heart. Like the desert elders, we will recognise that the greatest battles that you or I will ever fight will actually be internal battles. They are the battles that we fight within. And so as we begin our journey and this time of worship, let's enter into a moment of silence, the silence of our own world, and confess our sin before God and before each other. Let's take a moment of silence before we pray together. Pray together. Heavenly Father, at times there can be much about us that gets in the way of us living in your love and loving one another. Forgive us for being so easily distracted. Forgive us for being so quickly drawn away from the urgent needs of others and back to ourselves and our needs. Forgive us for our failure to love unconditionally. Heavenly Father, we spend some moments in silence asking for your forgiveness. God is slow to anger and abounding in love. He is always more willing to forgive than we are to even ask. Our God is love and he forgives. He forgives you and he always will. May God enable you today to take hold of that forgiveness, to live in his love and respond to his calling that he has placed upon you to be his love in the world. Be assured today as we worship that you are God's beloved sons and daughters, and may we walk in his love as he has loved us. I invite you to stand as we share a greeting of peace with those around us today. Say good morning. Welcome each other as we worship today. You may be seated. So friends, are you ready? Are you ready for 40 days in the wilderness, in the wilds of faith? Some of you are ready. because you've already downloaded the Lectio 365 app. Some of you are ready because you have organised yourselves into small groups already. If neither of those two things have happened over the last couple of weeks, this is a good day to get organised. Because over these 40 days in the worlds of faith, we will be challenged. The wilderness, as I said a moment ago, is not an easy place for people to be. Yet remember what we heard in the words of absolution again today, that God is always with us. He is always leading us every step of the way, empowering us with everything that we need. As Philippians 2 verse 13 says, "For God is always working in you." Hold that thought. God is always working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Oh, wow. Just dwell on that word for a moment. God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. That's where we start. God is not removed from us. He is with us. And he gives us that desire to want to do what pleases him. And so to start us on our journey, I want to remind you a little bit about the desert fathers and mothers that we are going to be exploring during this season. They are people who sought to grow close to God because they realised that God had planted in them his spirit to lead them closer to him. And this very first week, as we begin week one of our series, our focus is on a desert father by the name of Anthony. You're going to learn lots about him in the small groups when you meet together. And you will find a little video about him. And if you're part of a small group, you'll probably watch this video in your small groups. If for some reason you don't end up in a small group, you can still quietly go onto YouTube. Search, as it says on the screen there, search for Anthony of the Desert Lectio 365, and you will find that particular video. You can also go to the Lectio 365 webpage and just type in Desert Resources or / Desert Resources, and you will find the material there under week one. But let me tell you today, as we begin, a little story from the life of Anthony. Anthony lived in the desert, and many people came out to talk with him, to share their stories with him, even at times to share their dreams with him. Anthony always talked in a very relaxed way with those who came and spent time with him. He had that ability to be present with a person. Present in such a way that that person would just share whatever they felt they needed to share. But one day, a hunter came past with his bow and arrow, and he was a little distressed that Anthony was talking to these other people in such a relaxed way. So Anthony said to the hunter, "Put an arrow in your bow and draw it." The hunter did so. Then Anthony said again, "Draw it further." And the hunter drew that bow back just that little bit further. Then Anthony said one more time, "Draw it yet further." And he drew it back even further again. But then the hunter said this, "Anthony, if I draw it any further, the bow will snap." Anthony answered, "So it is with a follower of Jesus wanting to do God's work. If we go to excess, the brothers will quickly become exhausted. Sometimes it's best not to be too rigid." Well, the hunter went away, feeling rather ashamed, but he profited much from what he learned. And the brothers who had originally come to spend that time with Anthony were encouraged and went away home. As a pastor, when I hear that story, it does something in me. It acts a bit like a warning to me. A warning to me about how far I expect people to pull their bows. The danger of pulling our bows to the point where we break. I wonder how that story spoke to you. This week you'll have the opportunity to reflect more on that story and wonder what is the message for you in a story like this. You know, it is possible to learn special life lessons from those who have gone before us, people who have done the hard work like the desert fathers and mothers. But let's remember also that the desert fathers and mothers want us, firstly, to learn from the scriptures. So without any further ado, let's take a moment to ask the Lord to open our hearts and our minds and our ears as we hear God's word for us today.
From Colossians 4, we are encouraged. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Matthew 4 tells us, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said,
you are the Son of God. Tell these stones to become bread.
Jesus answered,
it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.
Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the highest point of the temple.
If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone.
But it is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test.
Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor.
All this I will give to you if you bow down and worship me.
Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only.
Then the devil left him, and angels came and attended him.
This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you to our readers today for dramatising our reading a little bit for us. Jesus went into the wilderness, didn't he? Across the ages, most people have found themselves living in towns or cities. Towns and cities are often being built in places where there is plenty of water, the fertile places, the places that can support life of many people. If you look at a map of Australia, this map shows us where the population of Australia live. The darker the colour, the higher the population ratio. The lighter the colour, the less people live there per kilometre. What does that tell you about where people live in Australia?
Not in the desert.
Not in the desert. Spot on, not in the desert. If you wanted to try and look at this on a map of all the streetlights, it might look a little bit like this. There's a lot of Australia that is just not lit up with lots of people. Lots of people down the south and the east coast, but elsewhere we live a rather sparse life. Have you ever wondered why there aren't more people living in the deserts? There's no water. It's hard. There's something about an advantage of living in a town or a city, isn't there? You have the services, you have the care needs, you have lots of help. You've got an abundant supply of things like food. Think of all the supermarkets we have in this great city of Victor Harbour. Very few people live out in the wilderness. It's a place of very little support. There you must fend for yourself and be totally self-sufficient. Can you think with me for a moment about all the different places where people have gone, or some of the stories of people who have gone to live in the wilderness? First one that comes to my mind is, well, Moses. I think of Moses after he murdered someone. He fled the death penalty by going out into the wilderness. And while he was out there, the Lord appeared to him through the burning bush, worked on him and changed him and transformed him to actually become a person that God would use to lead his people out of Egypt and into the promised land. Yet, as we reflect on that story, we quickly see how there was 40 years that the Israelites spent out in the wilderness on their journey to the promised land. Well, think of John the Baptist. Where did he spend most of his life? Was it in the city? No. It was in the wilderness. And there he called the people that came out to him, repent and be baptized, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Shortly after, we hear Jesus come onto the scene. He too finds time in the wilderness. We've heard about that today. And there in the wilderness, he was tempted for 40 nights while experiencing great hunger. Jesus alone in the wilderness. And while he was there today in the reading, we've heard how Jesus was faced with three big temptations. Three big deceptive tricks that the evil one threw at Jesus. And each of those tricks tried to deceive Jesus about his identity. Just before this story in the Bible, we hear of Jesus' baptism. At his baptism, we hear the words of the Father saying to his Son, "This is my Son, I love him. I have chosen him. I am pleased with him." In fact, I think the voice was different. "You are my son. I love you. I am pleased with you." But in the wilderness, the tempter tried to get Jesus to doubt his identity with three big "if you" statements. Jesus may have been alone in that wilderness, but the Spirit of the Lord was always with him, for he is truly God. There in the wilderness, Jesus fasted, he prayed, he engaged in spiritual warfare,
And he stood firm in the face of temptation. Why? For you, for me, for us and for our salvation. So that we can now see Jesus alone has the power to save us from the one who tempts us. Because Jesus was able to stand firm, he earned the right to go into battle for us and for our salvation. And so, friends, with confidence today, we can join with Christians around the world and praise the beautiful name of Jesus. And so I invite you to stand as our singers and Jasmine lead us in our next song, What a Beautiful Name.
Merciful God, You have forgiven us and brought us new life through your Son, Jesus. Help us to live in thankfulness and to give of ourselves in serving others. Amen. And now I'd like to pray for Pastor. Father God, it is with grateful hearts that you have led Pastor Nigel to continue serving here with us on the Great South Coast. We are grateful for the past 5 years and we look forward to more time with him. Be with him now as he presents today's message, and we ask that you remind us all to pray for him constantly, both for him, Amelia and their family. We ask this in your name. Amen.
Thank you, Wendy. Bring grace and peace to you from God our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Remember last week? We finished our bus tour around the city of Corinth. Don't worry, I'm not planning to wear the hat today. Just brought it as a reminder for those of you who have been on the journey for the last 4 weeks, as we have experienced the joy of being in the first two chapters of Paul's letter to the Corinthians. And probably a highlight looking back was getting stuck on that roundabout and going round and round and round that key verse from 1 Corinthians 1:18. I'm sure you will remember the actions that we learned with that verse last week. You remember them, don't you? For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, I almost got them, saved, it is the power of God. Well done for those of you who remember those actions over the last couple of weeks, exploring that key verse from 1 Corinthians 1:18. For those of you who follow your liturgical calendars closely, you might realise that today, actually on the Christian calendar, the liturgical calendar, is the Sunday when we celebrate the transfiguration of our Lord. A day when Jesus appeared on the mountain in front of Peter, James and John, together with Elijah and Moses. And the voice came from heaven saying, "This is my Son whom I love. Listen to him." Often that particular account becomes a most beautiful way for us to prepare to enter into the Lenten journey. Because from here on in, as we follow the Gospels, we realise that we are now on a journey. We've seen Jesus through his ministry. We've seen him grow with his, seen the disciples grow around him. And now he starts making that journey to the cross. But as we learnt from Anthony from the Desert Fathers, let's not be too rigid about needing to stick to all of our patterns all the time. It's good to have a pattern to follow when we see certain stories on certain Sundays. But today I want to take you to another pattern. It's the pattern that we finished last week when we concluded our journey through 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We were on that bus tour, for those of you who weren't here. We had a quick zip around Corinth for 4 weeks. Even took a boat cruise across to Ephesus. It was fun, at least in our imagination as we followed the text through. But last week when we finished and reflected back on the trip, we noticed how the Holy Spirit, God in us, searches all the deep things of God. We also learned that the person with the Spirit is able to make judgments on all things. In other words, able to examine and make choices and decisions, seeking the Lord's help to be able to discern what is the best way to go. And we see all this modelled so beautifully for us when Jesus is in the wilderness, being led by the Spirit, even in the face of the temptations that he faced. We also celebrated last week that we in our baptism have received that same Spirit. And most amazingly, that Spirit gives us, the Holy Spirit gives us the mind of Christ, so that we may grow in the way that we humbly live with each other, and that we may grow in our awareness of the relationship that God has with us. An awareness that enables us to recognise when we are tempted and to stand firm with the gifts that the Spirit gives to us. But friends, what does it take for you or I on our Christian journey to face temptation in a way that we may endeavour to stand firm? We will still fall into temptation from time to time, but our stance will be different because we know Christ as the one who has defeated temptation for us. As we continue to grow our awareness of God in our life and the gifts he has given us, including the armour of God which he invites us to put on every day, when we let go of the things that distract us, and we start our days by putting on that armour and everything that nurtures us, then we stand in the best position we can. Just as Jesus was led to separate himself from the crowds and the cities, so as we follow the desert fathers and mothers, we will see that they also sought time out from being in the crowds and with other people. And they did so, so that they could be nurtured in a deep spirituality. And so you're going to hear lots about these desert fathers and mothers over these next 7 weeks, but each week on a different character. So far, let's just check. What do you know about the desert fathers and mothers from what you've heard so far? Anyone like to call out something that they have heard or note from conversations in these recent weeks?
They're from long ago.
They are from long ago. From the 3rd century AD is when they first began to leave the cities and go into the deserts. You realise that years ago there were also quite sophisticated metropolitan cities. It's not just today that we have those sophisticated metropolitan cities. Places like Cairo and Alexandria were always big places, cosmopolitan style cities. But we hear of people like Anthony, who leaves the cities, who goes to quiet places to pray and develop a deep holiness in the wilderness. These radical people that left the busy places to find the quiet places were perhaps some of the most radical prayer warriors our world has ever known. And we've heard through Pete Gregg, the guy that you'll listen to from time to time in the videos, that having fled the world, they in fact began to change the world. So much so that as these people lived in these desert places, others would come out from the cities to spend time with them, to wonder about life together with them, to learn together, to pray together. And so these desert fathers and mothers became a potent prophetic challenge to the depravity of contemporary society and the compromises of the church of that time. And so around these prayer warriors, people like Anthony, grew communities of people, which then later on became the foundations for the monasteries that started to grow in the 4th, 5th and 6th centuries. Now, we're not going to necessarily do all that. But what might it look for us in this season of Lent to be a people who seek separation from the world in order to pursue spiritual growth? I wonder how we could apply some of the principles that we see in the desert fathers and mothers within our contemporary context today. And that'll be the challenge of these next weeks. I don't all expect us to go and migrate and live somewhere in the wilderness of South Australia. I don't expect you all to go and move up to the edge of Lake Eyre and live there and watch the waters as they flow on in from the latest rains up there. But there's something special about learning to cherish the opportunities that we have, in fact, every day, to experience a time of privacy with God and separation from distractions of life around us. You might recall Jesus, when he taught about prayer, he invited us to go and find a quiet place. Go into your room, close the door. In other words, remove all those other distractions of your life so that you can just be with God in his word, talking to him in prayer. Maybe this season of Lent for us will be one where we discern those things that we want to let go of so that we can make the time to enter our rooms, be quiet, be still, and discover the joy of growing in our relationship with God and his word. Now, I don't need to tell you, but our world is a crazy busy world, isn't it? Just look at our church calendar for this week alone. There's a lot going on. But all around us, people live fast-paced, noisy, distracted lives. And in our world where technology gives us so much information, we're starting to see that you and I have very short attention spans. And that too is making it even harder for us to respond to God's call on our lives. But what does the scriptures call us to do? The scriptures call us to be still. In fact, God calls us to be still and to know that he is God and we are not. Researchers have recently discovered, well, not that recent actually, 22 years ago, researchers discovered that the average time span of a person to be able to keep their attention on something was only 2.5 minutes. That's 22 years ago. I wonder what it is today. Well, to give you a little hint of the direction that it's heading, 14 years ago, the same research was done. And that time they discovered that a person on average can hold their attention on one thing for only 75 seconds. 2.5 minutes, 75 seconds. I wonder how long we can keep our attention on one thing today. Have I still got your attention? Just. And that's to be expected because our attention spans are getting shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. Maybe that's why I preach with slides on the screen, to try and grab your attention every few 15 seconds or 30 seconds so that you can continue to return back to the thoughts that I'm leading you on. You see, our brain chemistry has changed because of our interaction with this fast-moving technology. And it impacts the way that we separate ourselves. The challenge that we will face during this season of Lent is to find ways to remove ourselves from all that extra stimuli and distractions that we have become so accustomed to, and simply appreciate, yes, appreciate being with our Heavenly Father. Who's heard of a guy called Richard Foster before? Oh yeah, a few hands go up around the room. Richard Foster, a great writer on the topics of meditation and spirituality. Richard Foster argues that in contemporary society, our adversary, the evil one, the tempter, majors on three big things. He loves noise, hurry, and crowds. And if our adversary can keep us engaged in noisy things, in the hurry of life, and in crowds, in other words, keep us doing much and many things, well then he will have done his job and he will be able to rest. But is that the one we want to see win? We know the one who's already won, the Lord Jesus. But as we live in these in-between times, we have the opportunity to stand with our Lord and celebrate the relationship that he has won for us. And that's why we are going to seek out solitude during this season of Lent, practicing daily time in prayer, Bible reading, and worship, and seeing that as important for our souls, our relationship with God, and our relationship with each other. There are many who spoke good words. You'll hear about Synecdoche of Alexandria in your studies later on. But the challenge I have for you as you start this journey is, yes, we use technology for so many things, and you can in fact use it also for your help of being with the Lord. I'm a big believer and an advocate for this resource, Lectio 365, which you've heard me speak about before. It's simple to download to your phone, just by the Apple Store or your Google Play. Start using it. Each morning from now on, there will be a devotion that builds upon the themes that we are hearing this week. You may have noticed today that the first reading, which Marg read for us, was so short that she repeated it three times. Did you notice that? Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. This word devote is an important word for us in this journey. Because to devote is to be earnest towards, to persevere, to be constantly diligent, to attend to something continually, to continue in or with, to wait upon continually. And when we look for that word in Scripture, we will discover that 8 out of 10 times this word is used in relation to prayer. And so sit with that word with me for a moment. Devote. You've heard the word devotion. And in our traditions, the word devotion is an important one. It conveys a single-minded, diligent, careful perseverance. And it's this word that Christians throughout the ages have chosen to describe their intentional approach to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. I wonder though, if someone was to follow you throughout your entire week and observe everything you do throughout a week, I wonder what they would observe. I wonder what they would observe you being devoted to. Whatever you are devoted to will be that which you manage to fit into your life regardless of your circumstances. As we begin this Lenten journey, please don't mistake me. I'm not putting the Desert Fathers up on some sort of pedestal as if they've got everything together. They were like you and me. We sometimes can get caught up in extremes. And sometimes our extremes are not helpful. Excessive religiosity can be just as dangerous as excessive worldliness. Instead, I'd prefer you to remember as we start this journey the words of Jesus and what he taught about grace and the unforced rhythms of heaven. That his yoke is easy and his burden is light, and he gives that to us. Immediately before Jesus went into the wilderness, let's remember what happened to him. He heard the voice of his Father saying, "You are my beloved. I love you. I chose you. I am pleased with you." Can you imagine Jesus then being sent by the Spirit out into the wilderness with those words still ringing in his ears? That's the posture I want you to have as you enter into this season of Lent. I want you to know that God has saved you and redeemed you. He has claimed you as his child in your baptism. You have already received the gift of salvation as his free and unconditional gift of love and grace. And in this season, you have the opportunity to grow in the knowledge of that by engaging in his word and being more aware of his presence with you at all times. And so as we begin this season, listen. Listen for the word that God has spoken over you. Let your heart know that you are God's beloved child. Like Jesus, we go into this wilderness because we are beloved, not to become beloved. Never forget that you are deeply loved by God, and nothing can change that. There is nothing that will ever separate you from his love. It's being his beloved. That's where you begin. And to wrap up today, I invite you to close your eyes. I'm going to just read through to you a poem that's written by an ordained minister, author and artist by the name of Jan Richardson. And may these words remind you exactly of who you are. If you would enter into the wilderness, do not begin without a blessing. Do not leave without hearing who you are, beloved, named by the one who has travelled this path before you. Do not go without letting it echo in your ears. And if you find it is hard to let it into your heart, do not despair. That is what this journey is for. I cannot promise this blessing will free you from danger, from fear, from hunger or thirst, from the scorching of sun or the fall of the night. But I can tell you that on this path there will be help. I can tell you that on this way there will be rest. I can tell you that you will know the strange graces that come to our aid only on a road such as this, that fly to meet us bearing comfort and strength, that come alongside us for no other cause than to lean themselves toward our ear and with their curious insistence whisper our name, beloved, beloved, beloved. As you go into this journey, may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds safe in Christ Jesus to life eternal. Amen. I want you to stand as we respond by giving praise to our holy God who loves us forever. As Marilyn's about to lead us in the prayer of the church, I'll just remind you of an opportunity with the Christians of our town in praying for the Jesus in the Park event coming up shortly. Prayer this afternoon, 4 o'clock, Exalt Church.
As the Spirit once led Jesus into the wilderness to face the tempter, we bring our own struggles, the needs of the world, and the Lord Jesus in the desert. For all who hunger, not only for food, but meaning, truth. Just like the that life is not sustained by what we consume, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Lord Jesus, you turned away from the lure of power. We pray for leaders of nations and for those who lead within our community. Give them the humility of the desert fathers, seeking not their own glory, but the good of the vulnerable, the overlooked, and the poor. Lord Jesus, you stood firm when your father's love was tested. We pray for all who find themselves in dry places, the lonely, the unwell, those battling addiction, and those wrestling with the hidden struggles of the heart. In the stillness of their inner cell, may they hear your voice of comfort and hope. Lord Jesus, the Desert Fathers taught that nothing is more essential to prayer than attentiveness. We pray for the church in 2026. Keep us watchful amid the noise of our world. Purify our hearts and draw us into worship that is centred on you alone. Lord Jesus, we pray for all who are preparing for or considering joining small groups over the next 7 weeks as a time of spiritual renewal during Lent. Give them courage to step out in faith and participate. Strengthen them and us as we grow together. We pray for all who are preparing for or considering. Let us continue to pray with the other churches in our area for Jesus in the Park. Let us ask for God's protection over all involved, that planning goes smoothly and that we remain united in heart and purpose. May God soften the hearts of those he is drawing to eternal life. Let us pray for loaves and fishes and for all organisations in our community who offer help and assistance to those in need. May we keep seeking ways to work together in unity and see the ever-increasing needs of people met with compassion and grace. Let us pray that God would lead the Encounter Lutheran College Board to the person he has prepared to be the next principal. Someone ready to serve with wisdom, courage, and a heart shaped for this community. Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your victory over the wilderness. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Thanks that in this meal that we share before we go back into the world, that our Lord reminds us of who we are and gives us his grace to go. Let's give thanks as we prepare to receive. Father God, we praise you for your Son Jesus has taken upon himself our sin, that we too might die to sin and live to righteousness. And so we pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took the cup after the supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Friends, every time we eat and drink, we remember Christ's death and resurrection for our salvation. May you come and receive today with joy, and may his peace be with you always. Amen. Invite forward our helpers today. Take and eat the body of Christ given for you, the body of Christ given for you. Take and drink the blood of Christ shed for you for the forgiveness of sin.
I believe.
May the body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen you and preserve you in body and in soul to life eternal. Go in peace and serve the Lord with joy. Amen. Merciful God, your Son Jesus Christ resisted the temptation to turn stones into bread when he was hungry, but he has fed us with the bread of life. Help us to discipline ourselves in obedience to your Spirit, so that as you know our weakness, we may know also your power to save us. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. So as his beloved, I bless you today in the name of Jesus, that he may draw you to himself, and that you may find in him constantly the assurance of sins forgiven and the gift of eternal life. And the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favour and give you peace. Amen. Please stand for our closing song.
Jasmine and all your singers, thank you very much. Much appreciated. Remember to join up in your small groups, but if you don't belong to a small group, There is the invitation to join in the open small group, 9:30, starting this Thursday morning on the 19th, in the Green Room, the day after Ash Wednesday, and that group will be led by Pastor Nigel. Remember to download that Lecto app for your phone. If you need help, there's always people to ask. As is our usual practice, we have prayer after our service, and Di will be doing the prayers this morning, so she's available for prayers if you so desire. There is also barista coffee. There was some doubt, but there is barista coffee today and normal tea and coffee, so stay for a while and share fellowship together. And to our visitors, and I know there are some from a long way away, someone told me that we have a couple from Canada. Is this right? I don't know where they are, but everybody is welcome if you're a visitor. Oh, up the back here. Lovely to see you. Come a long way just for this service. How good's that? So we invite our visitors to sign the visitor's book before they leave, please. It's on the welcome desk, and we'd love you to leave a comment there. And I'm going to send you out with this. May the love of God go with us all as we depart today, and may we be with his hands and his feet in our community until we meet here again. God bless your week ahead. And it's a busy week, isn't it? Good morning.